What's going on? How we doing today, Missouri Central? This is the Joe Gaither Show on Missouri Central, home of Missouri Tigers on SI. I am Joe Gaither, and we are back to get things rolling for the 2024 season. Oh my gosh, we had a little bit of a hiatus there after SEC Media Days, getting everything in order, finishing up the last days of summer. But we are back for weekly episodes right here on Missouri Central, Mizzou Central, the home of Missouri Tigers on SI. You can find us on the Missouri Tigers on SI YouTube channel, or you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon, the Joe Gaither Show on Mizzou Central. We are blessed to be joined this week by our expert, our usual expert, Joey Van Zimmeren. You can find him on the Twitter machine at JoeyVZ _. He will be the star player all through fall camp, but there might be some backups that rotate in depending on availability throughout the semester. But Joey, it's been a couple of weeks, maybe three, four weeks or so. How are you, man? Thanks so much for joining me.
I'm good, of course. Thanks for having me, Joe. You know, classes have started for us this past week here, moved in this past weekend, so it's been going good. Fall camp wrapped up for the football team this past Saturday with a open practice. Is doing a lot of work for what the football team did at Faurot Field on Saturday, but they wrapped up fall camp then. We heard from Eli Drinkwitz and four of the five captains for the team. Theo Weiss was not able to make it due to, I'm going to use the scheduling or the quotation marks again, Theo Weiss was not able to make it to the press conferences for scheduling conflicts, as the team PR person said, but we heard from them yesterday, and this home opener against Murray State is really creeping us up on us. So a lot of talk about today.
Next Saturday, it all gets going. Missouri against Murray State.
This,
but
let's back up real quick. Thursday for Mizzou.
Oh, shoot. Even better. Yeah. Even better, because I'm going to a high school football game tomorrow night to kind of get the flavor started. Then a week. So we're going to be, seven? That's eight days away? That's awesome. Yep. Perfect. Joey, before we get into it, you got a big school load. Did you make it to class on time this week already?
I did. I will say I have had to adjust to being a commuter student because I'm living off campus this year compared to having a dorm last year. And there's many benefits of that besides the shuttle at my apartments. You really got to be on time and you got to be early and have your place in line or they don't have seats for everybody. So I hadn't gotten used to that. I've had to drive the first 2 days. Today was the first day I actually made it early in line for the shuttle, which was good. So that's been an adjustment. But other than that, classes are going well so far.
All right. Only took you a couple of days to make adjustments. That's good. That's all right. Yeah. Everything. Look, you mess up the first couple of days. That's what the first days of school are for, to kind of get into a rhythm. Yep. So happy to hear that. What did you do over the last couple of weeks? Because you have been covering the Missouri Tigers during fall camp, and we will get into that. But you and I go back and forth about our professional teams, but I think we had a very, very great opportunity that deserves highlighting, despite how I feel about the team. Tell us about your time covering the Packers, man.
I appreciate it. Absolutely. So Bill Hooper, who runs the Green Bay Packers on SI site, to him, was able to get onto his site as an intern, and Bill has been very free with what he lets me do. Basically, any idea that I have, I can pitch it to him. Most of the time, he's going to say yes. He doesn't assign me all that much, but I appreciate him giving me the opportunity. And one of those was I was in late July, early August, going to Packers training camp, covering three practices, first few of the pad practices for the Packers, and also obviously getting to go to the after practice availabilities, Coach Matt LaFleur's press conferences in the morning. So it was all completely new to me, not only the Packers, who I've been following all my life, to kind of like just really be thrown into it after, you know, just a year ago being in a totally different position with how I view, you know, the all the players seeming so inaccessible, to suddenly being in the locker room with them and 40 of them being in there. It wasn't all the players, and the high profile guys were just one time out of the week. But having 40 of them be in there, be like, all right, got a job to do, and having to go execute that. So it was cool, though. I felt like it was fall camp for me I understood what a lot of freshmen talk about now, like having to just gain confidence, understand what you're doing before you can execute your talents, your knowledge. And so it was cool for me to see over the 3 days that I was there, all back to back, over those 3 days, see the progression that I made each day, see how much more comfortable I felt. I really tried to be reflective after each day to see, especially with the after practice locker room availabilities, to see where I can improve on with those. Especially, you know, the first day I was there, I didn't find out it was open locker room until I was walking into the stadium 3 hours earlier. I thought it was like Mizzou does it, where we get five chosen players. So did not have a bunch of stories prepared. So I almost just used that day to get used to everything, practice my skills. And then over the next few days, actually come with some plans. So all in all, great experience that I was very grateful to have this early in my career.
And you wore a hazmat suit all 3 days, right?
No, I didn't feel the need to do that. I would have been fine to go to Chicago.
Well, Joey's now radioactive after spending 3 days in Green Bay. But congratulations. That's awesome that you got to do that. And hopefully that will just lead into more opportunities in the future for you. That's great, man. I'm really excited for you.
Hopefully. I appreciate it.
Well, let's you opened up with the OEs. Why don't we start right there? Missouri has wrapped up ball camp. You've got 8 days, as you just outlined, to the season opening game against Murray State. And we'll talk about Murray State here in just a moment. But the OEs and a scheduling issue keeps him out of an availability. It's now come out that he was arrested for what? For failure to appear. And for those who are keeping their noses clean, listening to the Joe Gaither Show on Missouri Central, that's when you get in trouble for something, you get a citation for a court date, and then you do not show up for that court date. It can be really a myriad of things. And I'll be full disclosure for everybody that is listening or watching. I have been arrested for failure to appear before, and I got it handled very, very quickly and very easily. Just a clerical error. So it can be a very, very simple thing that, I just forgot about it and out of sight, out of mind. But tell us what's going on with Theo Weiss. Will he be facing punishment? Will we see him next week? Is Eli Drinkwitz going to take this maybe to the max degree, or is this going to be something that's, run some stadium steps and make sure you monitor your mail and your calendar a little bit better next time?
Now, fortunately, or unfortunately, really, Missouri has shown us what they will do in this situation just 3 weeks ago, near the very start of fall camp, when safety Philip Roche, a sophomore, was arrested for failure to appear in court also. I expected there to be an in-team suspension for Philip Roche, especially because, like you mentioned, failure to appear in court can be for many different things. But for Roche, it was driving. I don't want to get this wrong, so I'm not going to say my initial estimation. It was a pretty high amount over the speed limit 3 times in the span of a certain amount of time. And I don't remember the exact speeding numbers off the top of my head, but pretty dangerous numbers. And so I expected there to be some in-team punishment for Roche. They did not give that. He was out at practice the next day after being arrested. So with Weiss, with this being for, with the warrant for his arrest being for failure to wear a seatbelt, I don't expect there to be any, severe punishment for Weiss. It doesn't look great that the response after Roche's arrest from Eli Drinkwitz and the Missouri's coaching staff was, we're going to take this more seriously. We're going to take this as an opportunity to show our players that you really have to take this stuff seriously, really have to watch your discipline. He did not meet our standards. It doesn't look great that just 3 weeks after that, one of their biggest stars, a team captain at that, is out there getting arrested for the same thing. I will say the warrant for Weiss's arrest was issued in May, so it's not like he could have changed much after the messaging from the coaching staff. So I'm sure we'll hear from Eli Drinkwitz about Drinkwitz about it at some point, but I would not suspect there to be any punishment for Weiss from the team.
No, no, especially for a seatbelt violation.
Yeah.
The issue is, and this comes from an irresponsible person that I am. When I had a tag issue, okay, your tag is expired. I'm gonna write you a ticket. All right, no problem. You renew your tag, no big deal. Oh, I renew my tag. I don't have to appear. I don't have to do anything. Out of sight, out of mind. And then boom, you roll through a stop sign, buddy. Actually, there's a warrant for your arrest. Oh, what? And it becomes a bigger problem than you realize. And so there are certain steps to take when you are in legal trouble, even if it is a seatbelt violation or an expired tag, or unfortunately, maybe a driving under the influence issue. There are steps to take, and maybe Eli Drinkwitz can use this as an opportunity to educate the entire steps to take. You got to go all the way to step number 10. You can stop at step number 7. You can't stop at step number 8. You got to get all the way through all 10 steps to clear your legal name.
Right. I think, to your point, this isn't a concern. Obviously, like, you should wear your seatbelt, but it's not a concern that Theo Weiss is going to be putting himself or others in danger consistently. But compared to, again, Roche, a much more different example here. And so maybe, you know, it becomes like you're saying too, of not only do we have to avoid the behavior that Roche was showing, but also we got to make sure we're on top of our stuff when it comes to court dates, legal happenings, because at the end of the day, headlines coming out like the one I wrote this morning on Theo Weiss arrested is not a great look, no matter what it's exactly. So, not a great look, but it's explainable cause. But for just to even have anything on your record, as for Weiss, who was going to be an NFL draft prospect this next year, not ideal.
Especially, and I don't want to make it sound like these guys have any special privilege, but these guys do have a very good support system at Missouri and at these high-level universities. There's a lot of people looking out for them. Hey, did you go to class? Hey, you got your homework done? Hey, have everything in your life, all your boxes checked off? And so this will be an opportunity for Eli to kind of look at the whole span of things, and maybe there was a little lapse in judgment, but just out of sight, out of mind, forgetfulness.
Right.
You want to talk about something else that Eli's concerned about?
Next week, I think I know where you're hinting at. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You go to the Cotton Bowl and you're not going to sell out the home opener next week. I mean, you can let me know, but because I've been kind of just on the outside, is it, oh, we've sold 93%. Oh, we've sold half our seats. Or is it like, well, how many tickets are out there for next week's game against Murray State?
I need to pull up the exact numbers. I saw it posted this morning. Let's see. Here we go. Okay. From 14 minutes ago, there's 817 tickets remaining for
Murray State. Oh, come on!
Oh, and 724 against Buffalo in week 2. So, like, I think it's more so the politics of it that Drinkwitz cares about it. They have their last 5 home games of 2023 still sold out, so they want to continue that streak. They want to be able to say, we sold out our home opener. They want to be able to say they continue that streak. Like I said, they want to be able to have the first shot of that Thursday night game, a packed row field. I don't think he really cares if people start leaving in the third quarter when Missouri is probably running away with that game. But as long as they can say every ticket was bought and make it look good on TV, I think that's the main thing he cares about. But it certainly is interesting because, you know, we've talked about it many times on the show, just relating back to his press conference after the Kansas State win. And this was two totally different situations, but two times where Drinkwitz gave a against Kansas State, it was a scolding, a parental behavioral talk, but compared to now just a urging and marketing type thing. But he's certainly showing he's not afraid to call up the fan base when he feels they're, you know, not in the wrong in this case, but when he wants them to take action.
Okay, I'm trying to find out while you're talking here. Missouri. Come on, Google. What are our ticket prices going? Because surely we're going to sell these last 800 tickets. There we go. Okay. Murray State. Here we go. We're going to sell these last 800 tickets. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Section 311, you can get in for $11. Come on. These have to go today. If you're going to be a serious program, getting to the college football playoff.
Yeah.
If you're a college football playoff team, and if you're a fan of a college football playoff team, obviously the Oklahoma game down the road is going to be the marquee game. We all want to save our money for that. But don't you want to be a part of the journey? Don't you want to be a part of continuing the growth and the journey to get Missouri to the college football playoff? Come on, Tigers fans. Go buy up those tickets.
Yeah, you are echoing a lot of what Eli said yesterday in his last answer to the press conference of, we need people to think we take our college football program seriously. And we need to, you know, exactly what you said, to not circle your calendars for a local home game, but you have to embrace this team. It doesn't matter who they are playing, show up for this team. And I know a lot of the response was, I know a lot of the response was from fans don't play on a Saturday. Then like, why was Mizzou still playing on a Saturday? They're at this, or on a Thursday at this point, they're a premier SEC team going into this year. Just play on a Saturday. I understand that. I understand this isn't like NFL games in very accessible cities. You know, a lot of people are going to be traveling from St. Louis, traveling from Kansas City, traveling from those greater areas, have work in the morning, even if they do live in Columbia, where it becomes a challenge. But at the same time, like he said, like Drinkwitz said as well, it doesn't matter if we're playing Thursday, Friday, Monday, any day of the week at Roe Field, if we're playing there, we should sell out.
And okay. I'm going to jump in on your Thursday night. Isn't next week Labor Day? Next weekend is Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Roll your third. You're off on Fridays, gentlemen or ladies, or maybe you're not, but you're off on Mondays. Go ahead and get that request off for Friday and have yourself the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the big weekend.
Exactly. I like that's a good way of thinking. And also, I'm not trying to sell tickets for this. You know, I don't care if it sells out, but I will tell you, I was impressed with this deal they're offering now, where you can get a family pack, four tickets, and all-inclusive food and drinks, like, for $99. And, you know, though obviously you're probably paying a little bit more per ticket than the cheapest one, but a food and drink, a snack and a Coke will cost more than a ticket, really.
So what's kind of – okay, we're focused down on the Murray State game, but let's think about it conceptually. Yes, you bring up a great point, really. A Thursday night's going to be a challenge for everybody to get to. And, okay, maybe Eli is having a little bit of an –
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Reaction, you have less than 1,000 tickets left. You've basically sold it out. You're going to have a big crowd there. but you want to have the optics. So let's dive into Eli's kind of point. Are the Missouri fans really at that point of high level football? Is it really that fever pitch of we're going to support our program, whether they're playing in Timbuktu or whether they're playing in, you know, whatever country, whatever planet in Mars, we're going to support them. We're going to find the channel. If it's on some random streaming service, should we be taking this as a sign of a lack of passion in the Missouri fan base, or is this just a combination of special circumstances?
I don't want to bash the fan base, but the one thing that I thought of, Joe, you would be able to attest to this. If Alabama is opening the season with Western Kentucky, I'm pretty sure that game is sold out now. If they were playing on a Thursday against Western Kentucky, I have no doubt that that would sell out as well. So, of course, there's these circumstances of it being on a Thursday night, but again, if this was those blue bloods that Missouri is, you know, objectively not at that point yet, don't have the recent history to build that up to that point, but they are aspiring to be, I guess you could say if they build it or if you build it, they will come, and they haven't built entirely it yet. But I do think they have the results to back it up. As Eli said, they are the number 11 team in the nation coming off a Cotton Bowl win. So they have the results to ask for people to sell out games like these. They weren't, Drinkwitz wasn't going up there during his press conferences in 2022 when Missouri was really struggling during SEC play, when, it was straight up embarrassing for some of those late season games when it was cold. The 2022 game against Kentucky, I mean, I think I saw the same amount of people in the stands for the Missouri high school football championships this past year. So he wasn't asking, he wasn't giving these passionate asks then. He has the results to do so now. So I do think, again, not to bash the fan base, but those blue bloods, it would happen if they were playing on a Thursday night, no matter the opponent.
I think I'm with you there. You look at the major brands there; those fan bases are crazy, and so we gotta stir up a little more hunger in the Missouri Tigers fan base, and that is on Eli Drinkwitz to continue to do, and he can do that by winning games. So let's talk about fall camp. What have you learned about the Tigers for the last 2 weeks? Obviously, Brady Cook. We have exhausted Brady Cook. We've exhausted Luther Burton. We've exhausted the defensive line. What have you learned over these last couple of weeks watching Missouri? And obviously, you had some time watching practice on this past Saturday. What's the biggest? Ooh, this is something I didn't think about in the summer, but will be a factor this Missouri Tigers football season.
I don't know what it's like at Alabama for you, Joe, and the rest of people at Bama Central, but for us at practice, we get just around 40 minutes each day of only individual drills. Now, there would be a few times where they would open practice with goal line. There was one time where we saw a no huddle drill where they just did running back carries. And in both of those times, it was just a scramble because that was the only times we were seeing the lineups to get as many numbers down as possible. And I was not writing in a straight line. I was just writing any number down I saw. So it was just like a spider web of numbers everywhere that I had to decipher afterwards. So there was, a few minute details that we got from that. I thought the backups were honestly a more interesting thing to see. There wasn't too many. They might have said there was open competitions on the starting on the starting units, but usually there's not too much, or there's a obvious sky ahead. So as far as those of what we've learned, Marcus Bryant has seemingly won the left tackle job, the SMU transfer. He's seemingly won it over Javen Richardson, the JUCO transfer. I haven't seen much from Javen Richardson in practice just because I'm watching the ones most of the times in those drills. But Marcus Bryant, I can also tell you, is not only, not only passes the eye test on the field, but passes physicality as well. We interviewed him a few weeks ago, and he walks into the room, and I was looking down at my phone, and I see somebody's hip, I'm like, oh my God, I don't think that's Nicholas Deloach, the smaller corner. I'm pretty sure that's Marcus Bryant walking right by me, and it certainly was. So just a very powerful guy comes over from SMU with plenty of experience. Will the adjustment for him is going to be not only SEC defenders week in and week out on the edge there, but also the wide zone, outside zone that Missouri likes to run, especially in the running game. So that will be adjustment for him. He talked about that, but I would say to replace Jerron Foster at left tackle, Missouri found a good guy to do it. Then at left guard, Oklahoma transfer Caden Green.
Can we sit right here for a second?
Yeah.
Okay, Caden Green transfers from Oklahoma. Huge buzz. Okay, rivalry, yep. Oklahoma-Missouri rivalry, big buzz. And, okay, the Oklahoma fans are, oh, y'all paid him X million dollars, blah, blah, blah. And who knows what the actual number is. Of course, there is an NIL at play, and we're not going to be dummies and say it's not at play. But who knows what the actual number is. But you're hearing, obviously, the rival fan bases say, y'all paid X million dollars for a guard. Okay, is that a big deal? Because you've got a guy at left tackle that it sounds like you are very well, or have some a little bit of confidence in, or have some semblance of confidence, and now you've got a guy to man the left guard position. I mean, he's on the line, he's starting. You're getting your money's worth. What do you make of? Okay, we got him as a tackle, and now maybe he's not a tackle. We're bumping him into guard.
It is interesting because with NIL and how we view it, it's becoming more and more like NFL free agency. So I do think it is fair to carry over some of the same thought processes we do with NFL offensive linemen, where left tackle specifically and tackle in general, left and right, is viewed as such a higher value position than guard, just because you're on the outside, and left tackle you're blind, protecting the quarterback's blind side, unless you're with the Dolphins and Tua. And so I understand where it is like that, where they are. I have no doubt a lot of their NIL money that they spent in their transfer portal, a really good portion of that went to Caden Green. However, there is still some differences to NFL free agency where they're, you know, obviously we don't have access to the exact rates, but where, you know, I think the proportion that's going to each player is a little bit different. They have to have, they're going to throw some guys a bunch of money, but others not as much. You know, I have no doubt that was part of the process for Marcus Bryant as well. So I understand why Oklahoma fans would criticize Missouri for that, and I think it is a solid point. But from what we heard from Drinkwitz, so Caden Green did start out left tackle throughout the spring, and then, you know, Drinkwitz said that Caden Green could also play left tackle, but he said he will do whatever. Caden Green said he'll do whatever is best for the team to win. So,
because I'm getting money.
I don't know what really went into that decision. I don't know if Caden Green has a preference of either left guard or left tackle, or what's the deal there. But end of the day, I understand where Oklahoma fans are coming from that. At the same time, though, I don't think this is a misstep for Missouri. I think you got to put your best five out there. And if they're paying Caden Green a buttload of money to play left guard, then so be it.
You got yourself a quality transfer, and now you've got yourself, it sounds like Eli Drinkwitz has a little bit of confidence in the offensive line. So, you know, put your best five out there. If you paid them, doesn't matter. This is the NIL game. That's the way it goes now.
And I will say too, a lot of it is that idea of the best five, where they, even if they were completely fine with throwing Caden Green out there at left tackle, Marcus Bryant is too tall, way too big to play guard. So maybe they didn't like their depth at guard at much. So they slide Caden Green over there so they can have Marcus Bryant over there at left tackle too.
All right, we're going to wrap this up, and because next week we will be doing an all-in on Missouri, on Murray State. If you you're game with that, Joey, or one of your colleagues, we'll assign one of your colleagues or yourself. We don't care. We just need to dive into Murray State next week. We want to wrap this up by asking you, with 8 days until it kicks off, look, we've done this 3 or 4 or 5 different times. What is the biggest concern now for Missouri with 8 days left until the season kicks off?
I think Eli Drinkwitz would tell you, selling those last 800 tickets. For me,
maybe it is. Maybe that's probably what you're doing.
For me, I would say the big question I have on this team is what a lot of the national media is picking up on, is just the defense in general, but also the defensive secondary. The losses of Chris Sabin-Strand and Ennis Rakestraw, I think people are going to appreciate what they did for Missouri a lot more this season when they're gone than they did last year and in 2022. I have confidence in the three guys that are going to be the main guys at cornerback, Drayden Norwood, Tariana Pride, and Nicholas DeLoach, seemingly. I have confidence in all of those guys. However, it does feel the defense as a whole, and specifically the secondary with the production they have to replace there, but the defense as a whole with all of the questions they have, you know, can Johnny Walker, you know, take over for Darius Robinson production-wise? Can the linebacker room, losing two starters as well, even though Chad Bailey wasn't available for last year, you're losing Tyron Hopper, and now you have two transfers coming in at Mike linebacker. How are those guys going to gel in? At safety two, you're losing J.C. Carlisle, so you're going to kind of have a group effort at safety now. A lot of guys being rotated in, I'm sure. And probably the biggest thing of it all, and a lot of things that the national media is climbing on to, they lost their defense coordinator when he got hired by LSU in January, February, was the highest paid assistant in college football. Obviously well-respected, not only at Missouri, but within the college football ranks, clearly, as his contract would indicate, at LSU. So early impressions of Corey Batoon, seems like the players really like him as well. I don't want to accuse him of being a scheme hire, but he does have a very similar system to what Blake Baker ran. I would be lying if I said I didn't think that was at least some part of the decision to hire him, but I have no doubt, there's plenty of guys that run a 4-2-5, and I'm sure Drinkwitz found the guy he thought was absolutely right for this job. So a lot of questions on that side of the ball. Not as much on the offense. Sure, they're losing Cody Schrader, ton of production there, but they had two really talented transfers who have produced just as much as Cody did last year. And obviously, Nate Noel is at App State, Marcus Carroll at Georgia State, so not as tough as competition, but they've shown that they can produce in college. Luther Burden is probably going to should absolutely have his best year of his college career. It's going to be the first year, his freshman year, that Missouri kind of held him off a little bit, and Eli Drinkwitz is still playing calling, so he wasn't in the slot as much either. His numbers in the slot jumped up in 2023, which really makes him better utilize his yak. And then offensive line, we just hit the ball on as well. They're losing two starters there, two really talented guys to replace them. Brady Cook is going to expect to have a really good year. So no big questions on the offensive side of the ball. It's going to be if that defense, they don't have to be a top 10 unit in the nation. They just got to keep this team together, keep them in games, make the plays at the right time, and then we'll see how far this team can go.
Well, the good news for the Missouri defense is they don't have to be good through the first 4 weeks to win. they still got a couple of weeks to kind of get their feet underneath them until that big trip to A&M. Joey, quick story before we get out of here, and we appreciate your time. Everybody go follow Joey Van Zimmeren at JoeyVZ_, and follow Missouri Central at MizzouSI on the Twitter machine. I have played one game of College Football 25. the week after SEC Media Days, I spent a day with a buddy who is a big Tennessee fan, and he played Tennessee, and me and my cousin, we said, okay, I'll play first. I'll play second and fourth. You'll play first and third. We just wanted to try the game out. I hadn't tried it yet. I don't have a new generation Xbox or whatever. And I spammed Luther Burton like crazy. That I got a game losing interception at the very end. I got a couple big play touchdowns to him, but my buddy kept figuring it out. He's like, okay, next time Joe is on in the fourth quarter, guard was it number three, guard Luther Burton. And that ended up being my demise. I went to the well too many times.
Yeah, eventually he's gonna get quadruple covered.
That was exactly kind of how it played out on the last drive. I was on the right outside the red zone feeling, oh, we're about to win this game, and zoom right into it. So a lot of fun. We cannot wait for the season to get going. Make sure you follow Joey Van Zimmeren at @JoeyVZ_. Follow Missouri Central at Missouri Tigers on SI. You can just type Missouri SI. It'll be the first thing that comes up in your Google machine. Go ahead and like, rate, and review the show on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or Amazon. And subscribe to the Missouri Central YouTube channel. There's going to be a lot of fun interviews popping up right over there as football season continues. And the weekly segments of the show will be right there. Well, Joey, we'll talk to you next week to talk about Murray State, the Racers.
Absolutely. I mean, that's close to my hometown in Illinois. So, I guess I have that at stake there. Looking forward to that. Other than that, like I said earlier on, I don't think it's going to be all that exciting of a game, but we'll get the vibes of college football season being back in Columbia.
Thanks so much for your time, Joey. Have a great week.
Absolutely. Of course, you as well, Joe.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for our weekly segment, and we will be back next week to talk about Murray State and if Eli Drinkwitz sells out the game or not. Go ahead and buy you a ticket. They're $11. Well, we want to hear your experience in the comments section at JoeGate36 on your favorite social media machine or in the Missouri Central YouTube channel in the comment section right there. We'll get out of here for the week, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Missouri Tigers on SI.